This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The voice, which is such a reliable and also an unreliable instrument, because it does have its days and it's attached to a body that has its moods and sometimes mood swings. So there are times when you think it's going to come out a certain way in terms of a note and it comes out completely different. So learning to trust that instrument was, I think, the hardest thing for me, to really trust my voice and to know that this is how far I can take it, and leave alone the fact that to find my voice.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Very rarely do we get musicians whose roots begin in Africa. If they do come from that continent, they tend to be from South Africa, like Ladysmith Black Mombazo, who sang with Paul Simon on Graceland. This group, by the way, will be back in KL next month on April 10th. But my guest is from Kampala, Uganda. She is Fatima. She leads her group, which is called Indigo and the Lights. Welcome.
Thank you.
Again, here, people can't see you. I can see you. You look so young that when you say you're from Uganda, I get this feeling that you just jumped on the plane just yesterday and flew over here. But that's not true. You've been in this country for a while.
Yes, I have. But it does feel like just yesterday, because time just passes so fast when you're having so much fun. It's been such a beautiful experience being in Malaysia, being in Kuala Lumpur, just seeing all the beauty that surrounds us. It's amazing.
Is Malaysia very much like Uganda in terms of the temperature, the climate, a lot of greenery?
Yes, it is. Uganda is very green, and that's why I picked Malaysia to start with. I thought of all the fruits that we can get here. One of my favorite fruits is the passion fruit, and we have it in Malaysia. The temperature is a little bit cooler, less humid,
in Uganda,
of course, yes.
Because you're higher?
Yes, yes, we are. And it's a beautiful, such a beautiful picture to paint. I think the closest image that I can think of is of Genting Highlands. So that would be very similar to my mother's hometown. Very green, a lot of mountain scenery, very calm and quiet.
What brought you to Malaysia? Did you come here to sing?
I wanted to come here to sing, but my parents decided that I should try to do something different, which I also loved as well, which is psychology. So I started out majoring in psychology and then branched out to music. Well, I actually just went back to my first love, I would say.
Do you mean to tell me you came to Malaysia to go to school?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I would not think of coming to Malaysia to school. I don't know how did Malaysia even enter your imagination in Uganda. I get this feeling that people in Uganda don't know about Malaysia.
But we actually do. There's a lot of awareness about the different countries where you can study, the different let's say the different majors that you can do. So I had sisters who are in the UK and Canada, and a brother in Australia, and I'm quite the adventurous one. So when I Googled, the first thing I Googled about Malaysia, I saw all the food. That was the first picture that I saw, was
food.
And I thought, this will be amazing. I love food. More than I should sometimes, but I love the different tastes, the textures. It brings so much to the palate. And as an artist who appreciates all creativity in all its forms, even in terms of food, I was so excited about that. So I had the chance to pick between Ontario, Canada, and Kuala Lumpur. And I said, it's Kuala Lumpur.
You like the warmth?
I do. I do.
You don't like the cold? Because I turned on the air conditioning and you said, mm-mm.
No. No.
I asked you if you wanted a glass of water, and I said, cold or warm? You
warm.
Said warm.
Warm.
How long have you been in Malaysia?
9 years.
9 years.
9 years.
And what's keeping you here? Don't tell me. Because most times when I ask somebody who is from someplace else, I say, why are you here? It's usually somebody else. They're dating somebody here. They've fallen in love with somebody here. And that's why they are here.
I've fallen in love with music. And the music here, the people that I get to work with, I call them my family. We've been able to create such beautiful sounds and textures. I think that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I believe in synchronicity. So that has really just helped me to feel like this is home to me more than most people even realize. The music changes everything.
You are so fortunate to be so young and to know exactly where you fit in, where things will happen for you. Very fortunate. I am speechless now.
It does take time, of course. It's not been always that easy to just to know. But I tend to think that if we follow our heart, then it's easier to take it from there, because what we love is most of the time our pure calling and our purpose in life. So when you follow your heart, then things start to flow beautifully.
When you were in Uganda, how big was singing for you? How big a part did it play in your life?
A major part. I would participate in each and every, what was it called?
Talent
show. We had a talent show every year, and I would participate in each and every one. I did Cambridge music as well. So music was really important. When it came down to A-levels, I picked psychology, art, and music. So that's how important it was for me. The first time we won, because my sisters also are musicians, we won bowling alley tickets. And at 16, that was major. That was really major to be able to go bowling for free. So that was very inspiring. And I did have such an amazing music teacher. She pulled me aside after a choir performance that we were having for Christmas. And I was the one that would whisper in the back, very shy, very timid. And she asked, at the end of the class, she asked me to stay back. And she said, can you please sing this for me and a little bit louder? And she was amazed by the voice that came out of me, because I could see it on her face, actually. I saw the expression on her face, and automatically I thought, did I sing it wrong? Did I do something wrong? And she just smiled. She had such a big smile on her face, and I thought, wow, maybe I'm doing something right.
Evelyn sent me a track that you sang. If I'm not mistaken, it's On and On by Erykah Badu.
Yes, Erykah Badu.
You did a cover of that. I listened to it, and I hadn't met you then, of course. And I just imagined this person. And it came across as somebody with a very big voice. So I expected somebody a bit older, somebody very confident. And when you walked in, I keep saying to everybody I talk to, you look like someone who's still going to school.
Oh, but I think I am still in school. Life is a learning,
yes,
a learning journey. And I do come across on stage more confident than I truly am within. Because most of my friends will tell you that before I go on stage, my heart is beating. And sometimes I actually ask the audience to give me just a minute to take a breath so that my heart doesn't fall out on stage. So the stage, like anxiety and the fear, it never goes away. It never goes away, really. But I guess that's what keeps us on our toes.
Tell me a bit about your musical journey. You said you started singing in school and you participated in talent competitions and your teacher got you to sing more. You had some classes through the Cambridge course.
Yes.
So based on that, you were classically trained?
Yes, I did. I did a few years, about 3 years, of just focusing on vocals. So we were asked to pick an instrument in our Cambridge exam. We're asked to pick an instrument, and I picked voice. So it's very different to take the voice, which is such a reliable and also an unreliable instrument, because
yes,
it has its days. Mm-hmm. It does have its days, and it's attached to a body that has its moods, and sometimes mood swings. So there are times when you think it's going to come out a certain way in terms of a note, and it comes out completely different. So learning to trust that instrument was, I think, the hardest thing for me, to really trust my voice and to know that this is how far I can take it, and leave alone the fact that to find my voice, because I'm amazing at mimicking. I'm amazing at listening to a singer and repeating exactly how they sang. So to find my own style, my own rhythm, my own groove, let's call it, that took a long time. And I think I'm still figuring that out.
What kinds of questions do you pose for yourself so that you can find your own style, as opposed to, like you say, you know, mimicking somebody because you are so good at it?
I go with my gut feeling. So I'm really big on intuition. How does it feel? And what I do is I always select songs that conjure up a certain feeling. Because as singers or as musicians, we have so much power, in a sense that when we stand on a stage and sing a song, it can either inspire, it can break a heart, it can mend a heart, it can make someone happy, it can make someone sad. So when I'm getting on stage, even before, when we're working on what we call a set list, I listen to the songs and I think of, how does it make me feel? And if there were someone in the audience that came and had a bad day, could this song help them to feel better and to be hopeful and to leave healed and upbeat about life? So I tend to look at it in terms of how it feels.
When you were taking singing lessons as part of your Cambridge course, were you thinking of becoming a classical singer, or were you thinking of singing the kinds of songs that you're singing now?
At that point, I just wanted to sing. I didn't even go as far into what kind of singer. I just knew that if I got to sing, that would be a gift enough for me. Anywhere it was, I was ready to learn what I had to learn, push myself as far as I needed to be pushed, and just sing. That was always the aim, just to be able to sing.
What kind of music did you grow up with when you were in Uganda?
Mom used to take us to a traditional performance that was every Sunday, and the name of the group is Indere Troupe. So she felt that that was a beautiful way to spend the rest of the weekend, and every Sunday at 6 p.m. we would watch them performing, and they performed, like, it was almost, I think, a 20-piece band with all traditional instruments, and we would dance and just sing and be merry, you know, little children. So that was what I started out with more traditional. But then I'm a 90s baby, so Boyz II Men was on the radio. We would sit down, grab mom's cassette tapes, and record over them.
You just said cassette tapes. I don't think people here know cassette tapes. People your age probably don't know what they are.
I just saw one yesterday and I was over the moon. Those were the good old times, the beautiful good old times. And then when I moved into high school, I was really in love with classical music. So Vivaldi, Mozart. I really loved classical music and how it made me feel. I loved to just sleep with classical music playing. I found that I got the best of both worlds, the traditional inspiration and more of a classical feel to life.
Do you play a musical instrument yourself?
I'm learning the cello. I've always loved the cello. And when I found out that it is the only instrument that's closest to the human voice.
Every musician says his instrument or her instrument is closest to the human voice. I've heard the oboe. I've heard the violin. They say it's closest. I don't know which.
But
for you, it is the cello.
For me, it is. For me, it is. It sounds so beautiful and so warm. So I've just started my classes again.
One would think that somebody who sings jazz and sings soul, the cello is not the instrument.
I find that I'm a chameleon, and I love to see how far I can push myself and not have to fit into any specific stereotypes in terms of what music I sing. When the inspiration flows through, it doesn't matter if it's jazz or blues or soul. It just flows through. So that's how it goes.
I'm speaking with Fatima, a singer who hails from Kampala, Uganda. This singer is the leader of a band called Indigo and the Lights, and they'll be performing at No Black Tie tomorrow and on Friday. Coming up, we'll find out more about the music Fatima will be performing with this group. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
To do music, and that is when the band was formed. Well, not necessarily the first time we performed, but the day that I was born was the day that the music began.
With you, I'm brighter than I have ever been.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng with Fatima, a singer-composer who mixes a blend of jazz, soul, neo-soul, rhythm and blues. She's a classically trained vocalist and the leader of a band called Indigo and the Lights. Now, I understand there are some 30-plus ethnic groups in Uganda, a country that's surrounded by five other countries and a huge lake. Which group do you belong to?
I belong to the Banyoro tribe. That is in, now we're in West Africa. Before all the borders and everything that is now, you know, putting us in a little box, we were everywhere. Is that an easy way to say it? We're all the same in a sense, because the core of our languages are directed towards the Bantu language. So it's all about how it's spoken. It's harder to explain a language to someone, but if you could listen to the music, this is what I was talking about a few days ago. The way that we identify each other in each and every tribe is by the rhythm of our drums. So that is the easiest way, because words sometimes are too limited, but sound is so beautiful in a sense that the rhythm of each and every drum from each and every different tribe is what identifies us, because the drum is the center of our expression.
Would you be able to recognize the rhythm of your ethnic groups through the percussion?
Yes.
So what would it sound like? How would you clap it? How would you...
That's not as easy, because I don't have a drum. It can't be clapped, because the flow of it is... It's... How do I explain this? I need a drum to do this. But I would be able to do it with a drum, because I've heard it for a very long time. And it is beautiful. It sounds amazing.
No, as part of my preparation for this interview, I was listening to some more contemporary music from Uganda. And what I noticed, though, was that it sounded so Jamaican. And, of course, you are quite far away from Jamaica.
We are inspired by the Jamaican influences. That's to say that we do appreciate Jamaican music. Of course, Bob Marley was a big hit back home, and a lot of musicians do tend to lean towards the Jamaican influences, but we do have a few amazing musicians who are doing their best with all different types of music that they can
The contemporary musicians now, are they doing mostly very much like global music, where it's like hip-hop, where, you know, even Malaysia, we have young people doing hip-hop music. And, of course, jazz and soul and rhythm and blues, that's more a niche in Malaysia.
Yes, it is the same in Kampala. But I think the tides are changing, because a lot of musicians now are able to get the instruments that they need. We don't have any major music schools in Uganda, so it's harder to think of all the music that we listen to out here and be able to replicate it. Most of the musicians, and it's not like I'm hating or anything, but they tend to do their songs in a studio, and it's all recorded for maybe one device, and all the instruments are on a keyboard. So that's a little bit different from what most of the bands and live bands that I've met when I was in Uganda are doing. They've got maybe a 6 or 7 piece band, and each and every one of them has mastered their beautiful instrument. And we've got to make do of what we've got. So I'm hoping that being a musician here, meeting all of these amazing musicians, we can take back something about live music back home. I do tell my friends that I believe that Malaysia has the most musicians in the world.
Really? I would not have thought that.
Yeah. You only realize when you need to find a replacement, and maybe your drummer is sick and can't make it for the show at 9 p.m. and you can call a few friends who can be there by 8:30. Then you realize, wow.
Maybe you have a great network.
I think my friends have a great network. And it does help. It makes such a big difference.
Do you think the fact that you grew up for part of your life in Uganda, now that you lived in Malaysia for 9 years, and you're singing jazz, which is very American, how do all of these mix together? How much of Ugandan do you bring to your songs? How much of Malaysia do you bring into your songs? And even if you're aware of what you're bringing to a song because of your rather diverse kinds of backgrounds?
What we're doing right now is we're working on a song. The title is MYT, which is Malaysian time. So that's one thing that I'm really, really looking forward to bringing a little bit more of Malaysia into our sound. In terms of Uganda, I do speak my mother's dialect, which is Rutshuru. And when I do feel like the creative juices are flowing, I do sing a song that is titled Akiki, which is her pet name, and try to bring a little bit more of our beautiful culture into the music. It's a little bit harder because when we do sing in different languages, you have to keep in mind that the audience has to always feel involved. So I do try to sing in different languages as well. Well, one of my first languages is Arabic as well. So that I do sing in Arabic sometimes. But it's quite rare because I like to think of a performance on stage as a group performance. So when the audience understands what I'm singing to or singing about, then it helps to have everyone involved.
When you mentioned MYT, Malaysian time, so what elements in this song that you are composing and putting together, what are the elements that would make it Malaysian?
I have a friend who plays the tabla. So we're thinking about including that. And we're also including, well, it's not necessarily Malaysian, but we're following the Balinese pentatonic scale. I've always loved the rhythm and the feeling that it has to it. And my friend is also going to help me to write a verse in Bahasa. So that would be amazing. I tend to shy away from singing in different languages, but I think it's about time to try that.
9 years here, so how much of that have you picked up of Bahasa?
I know how to order any meal that I need.
Because food is important to you.
Because food is very important. And I do have a few friends who are helping me, but I'm very shy at repeating words. It's a beautiful language. I love how it sounds. It sounds really delicate on the tongue.
I think it is. I think Malay is a very beautiful language. It's a syllabic language.
Yes.
The consonants are not pronounced so strongly so that you hear most of the vowels.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
You're performing with Indigo and the Lights. I went online and I checked on the formation of Indigo and the Lights. And I noticed the date on it, May 5th, 1990. And I'm looking at you. No way could the band have been formed on May 5th, 1990 because you're not that old.
My aim of putting that date is it's actually my birthday.
Ah.
So what I think of is that I was born to do music. And that is when the band was formed. Well, not necessarily the first time we performed, but the day that I was born was the day that the music began.
Who are the people in this band?
I'm the lead singer. And as you know, I don't know if anyone's heard about the Indigo Children, and that's where I got my inspiration for Indigo and the Lights. The Lights are various amazing musical masters that I've worked with and been honored to work with in Kuala Lumpur. Their names are too many to mention. But
so this is not a standing group. You, when you need to perform and you have your selected set to perform, then
yes,
you find the relevant performers.
I do have a group of musicians that I've performed with for many years. So a few are, for example, Amir Rizwan, Travis Tan, Marcus Young as well. We've performed at different open mics. There are a few people that it's like it's a small group, but it's where the feeling is, because each and every performance I have a different intent for. So sometimes when I want to bring across a certain message, there are certain musicians who do it so beautifully, and those are the musicians that I tend to call.
How would you describe then your style? In the press release sent to me by Evelyn, you're described as, you know, rhythm and blues, a kind of unique blend. But how would you describe it yourself?
I find describing music with words is very difficult. You have to hear the sound. And most of the time, I tend to think in colors. So I visualize a rainbow which has red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and indigo and violet. I would think of our sound in the lighter hues. So from the blue to the indigo to the violet, that's our inspiration, and a little bit more of the green. I feel that colors sometimes express much more than what a word or a label can do. For example, jazz or blues, which it's amazing that blues is blue. So I find that the music that I'm creating is so different because it comes out in the moment. There's never like a set like rhythm that I wake up in the morning and say, okay, we have this performance today and I'm going to do this, this and that. It always changes because, as I said, it's always intuitive. Where I'm feeling in that moment, what I'm feeling maybe in that month, that year, that weekend is where the music will come from. So sometimes it's more leaning towards jazz and Esperanza Spalding's, and sometimes it's leaning more towards Tracy Chapman, or sometimes it's a little bit of Erykah Badu. And other days it's just Stevie Wonder.
And you are dressed in green today.
Yes, I am.
For the performances tomorrow and on Friday, are you singing similar sets or you're two different performances on two different nights? I know live performances are always different, but in terms of the songs that you'll be singing.
What we're doing tomorrow, I'll be doing 6 original songs, and this is the first time we've been working on them together.
And MYT is one of them?
MYT is one of them. I'm really excited about that and very nervous. Because they came to me in such weird ways, let's say. Most of the time when I'm thinking about a song, it just doesn't flow. But other times when I'm making dinner, the songs start flowing. So we'll be doing 6 of my original songs, arranged by Travis Tan, a dear friend. And we'll be doing 6 other covers. And for our covers, we'll be doing a few by Norah Jones, Esperanza Spalding's, let's see who else. Tracy Chapman's, of course. She has to be on our set list. And on Friday, we will be doing just covers. I wanted to see how that goes and just feel it. Of course, we'll be doing a variety of songs. I'm doing a few songs by a Nigerian singer. Her name is Asha. Just to bring a little bit of home into the flow. And we tend to improvise a lot. So I write poetry, and I've always loved to write poetry. So we'll be doing a little bit of my poetry as well and seeing where that goes.
Fatima, who leads Indigo and the Lights, will be performing at No Black Tie tomorrow and Friday at 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. respectively. Cover charge to these performances are at 53 ringgit each. This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture. I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I never get a chance again to say I'm sorry, if I never hear your voice again, I know you loved me. And even though it's hard sometimes, I know that we will always find a way someday. while I'm in Malaysian time, trying to find my dreams. You can't find me. You can't find me. I'm in Malaysian time, trying to find me. And you won't know me. Ooh, but you don't know me. And I'm here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.